We're talking about podcasts. We're talking about Survivor Trader podcast. A podcast. It's a Survivor Trader podcast in that order. Welcome to Two Chunks. I'm Jordan.
I'm Doze.
Doze?
I'm Doze.
I'm Doze.
Did you guys ever say your own name wrong?
Nope.
Wow. We always say my name wrong. We can get to that when it's my turn. Go ahead.
I'm Doze. Today's punchline comes from the halcyon days of 2019, before the famine, before the pandemic, before all the bad stuff happened when the world was still good. The punchline is anywhere, as long as it's a hip joint.
Go ahead. Where does the pelvis want to hang out?
Yeah, I was going to say, where does the femur like to go?
Ooh, too specific. Where do skeletons go for a fun night out?
No.
Anywhere,
bad.
As long as it's a hip joint.
Bad.
Still works, but not as good. I'm Carter, and I think we've talked about this on the podcast. Phonetically, we don't naturally pronounce my name correctly. Mm-hmm. If we were to spell how everyone pronounces my name, it would be C-A-R-D, as in dog, mm-hmm. E-R.
You are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are, yes.
Carter.
C-A-R-D-U-H-R.
Because to actually hear the T,
mm-hmm.
If we were to say my name, it feels like a waste of time.
To hear the T, you got to tune into Untucked.
Especially whenever you go to Boston for a weekend.
Yes.
Gotta.
And whose voice was that?
I'm that? Gage.
It's Gage. He has joined us. I'm still Jordan, regular style. That's how I like to say it. I have pulled up a list of the Survivor 50 cast sorted by age. Here's some fun facts. I'm older than Q. That doesn't seem possible.
How many articles of clothing have you invented?
Zero.
In your life?
Zero articles invented.
Q's ahead of you.
I am about 12 days older than Q. I am about 2 months younger than Savannah. That's sort of right where I land in this cast. Wow. I would be one of the younger people on this cast, which makes me feel good because sometimes I feel older than younger. So it's nice to know that I would be, you know, in that spot. But I am older than Q, which doesn't seem right. Our oldest cast member is Mike, our next oldest. Care to take a guess? Mike is 54.
Colby.
Suri is our next oldest cast member, also 54, roughly the exact same time. Mike was born in June. Suri was born in July. After that is
Chrissy.
Wait,
what's Mike's birthday?
Mike's is June 28th, 1970.
Special.
Right there. Okay. Right there. Chrissy is the next youngest, also 54. So we got three 54-year-olds. After that, we've got Coach, Colby, and then Jenna. So that kind of rounds out our oldest contestants here. Can you
in that
care
environment,
to take a guess?
Don't they seem so old? Like if they appear old, they seem so old. It's like certainly not the same, but to some lesser extremity, like watching professional sports.
For sure.
Especially
absolutely.
The really active ones. Like, this
for
guy's
sure.
playing, Ovechkin is playing hockey right now. How old is he, Gage? Like 45?
Yeah, he's up there for sure.
So it feels ancient. On Survivor, though, he's the middle of the pack.
Sure.
If he's on that island. It's
we
just
have
so wild to put people in different
our areas. Exact middle here are 12 and 13 out of 24. So our 12 and 13, there is a four-year gap between our 12 and 13. Would you care to guess who are exact two middle at 35 years old and 39 years old, who are two middlest aged contestants of the season are?
35 and 39.
One of them's Kyle.
No. I would guess Aubrey is in there.
No.
Have we already said Ozzy?
We have not said Ozzy.
I think Ozzy's 39.
Wrong.
I think older.
Ozzy's 43.
Yeah. Well, that whole tribe has... They don't have anyone in their 20s, I would guess. And I would bet they have like three or... Yeah, they have three people who are older than 40.
Aubrey is 39.
Or Camilla.
Camilla. Genevieve and Camilla both land in the younger half. Genevieve's 34. Camilla's 31.
Okay. Who's 35?
That would be Angelina is 35, born in 1989. So that leaves our 39-year-old in the middle on the older half of the middle. Care to guess? We've got two 39-year-olds. One is Aubrey. One is slightly younger than Aubrey. 1 month exactly, almost younger than Aubrey. Who's our middle baby? Who's the youngest of the olds?
Yeah, Rizzo.
39?
It's Christian Hubicki. It's Dr. Christian Hubicki is the youngest of the olds, and Angelina is the oldest of the youngs.
Comptroller Christian Brochasso.
So I would actually, at 37, as I said, would be the very middle.
You would be the exact middle.
I am the exact middle.
Yeah.
It's a comfortable spot for me.
Yeah. Do you think they'll fly you in?
I hope so.
To replace anybody who may have had to go home on accident from the first episode?
Christian adopted a new nickname in the very first episode.
Spock?
I don't know anything about Star Trek, so I couldn't tell you which one he was.
Spock.
Spock. Me neither, bro.
I don't know anything about Star Trek.
You don't know enough about the top two people on Star Trek?
No, I truly could not tell you who Spock is. That's I know crazy. That Patrick Stewart is on the show.
That's yeah. Not even who they're talking about.
That's pretty different,
they're
though.
Talking about
that's
Will Shatner.
Star Trek The Next Generation. The very first Star Trek.
Yeah, once again, I'd like to reiterate my first point that I don't know
anything. What are you, some kind of jock or something? What are you trying to prove? You got sports muscles?
I did play two sports in high school. So.
Get out of here, man. I played none, but did watch a lot of Star Trek.
I watched no Star Trek, but cultural osmosis has taught me everything I need to know about the good Spock man.
Chris Pine is there sometimes.
Sure, yeah, often. In the new movies.
Before we jump into...
They're good. They're not good Star Trek movies.
That's fair. Before we jump into full discussion, it's time for my comeuppance. I do have a decision to make. If you listened to our draft episode, we each drafted a winner pick in addition to our teams. My winner pick was also on my team. So I am double boned, which is, you know, kind of fun. But I have lost Kyle to a pretty horrific Achilles injury.
Yeah, man.
Brutal.
Huge bummer. I want to say, if I may eulogize Kyle for just a moment, sure. I really still feel like up to the point that he was ejected from the game for his injury, man, he was doing such a good job. He was building so much relationship and he was really downplaying his threat level and really overplaying his like charm and charisma. And I think he was in a good spot. So I'm not just bummed for me, but I'm just bummed. I feel like we've been kind of robbed of seeing a really great player do his thing. And that's always devastating. Seems like he's doing fine now, which I'm happy to report.
Yeah.
But
I'm not sure if you've seen on social, he did a big post about his entire recovery journey, all the rehab he had to do and everything.
Absolute boss. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did.
Really impressive. Like, clearly a major injury.
Yeah.
It was the right call to eject him from the game, but man, that sucks.
It's also like an athlete injury. Like, people.
Yeah, like a real injury. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
right.
In the NFL, you know, four players tear their Achilles a season.
Yeah.
And it's like a year long recovery.
It's devastating. Yeah.
Same kind of thing happens in Star Trek, but Gage would only know about
that. Yeah,
the
sort of.
Version,
they call it the. He Spocked himself, is what they call it.
He got Spocked. Which is.
He was thinking about space too hard in his Achilles spot.
It sucks.
That's what it'll do to you.
The thing about Kyle is, I think he is an amazing survivor player, and I'm happy I chose him as my winner pick because I feel like he deserved the credit. But it is time for me to pick someone else. And what I have here in my brain is I've been at war today trying to make my decision. And ultimately, I have – there's two wolves in every man when it comes to deciding their survivor pick. And the wolf that wins is the one that you feed. And I've decided to feed the wolf that makes me feel good. So my winner pick is not just someone that I think could win it. It's somebody that I think at the end of the day, I've decided I want to see win this. In my opinion, there are six main characters so far. After the first episode, there have been six people set up as our main characters. Kyle would have been one of them. He's now gone. In my opinion, who we have working...
Wait. Hang on. Who are the other five? Who
That's
are
we what I was
He's about to get there. Yeah. He's
okay. Just so it's sort of like...
I just
it's
got
like
so excited.
The beginning of the sentence leads to the next part most of the time.
I just got so excited. I wanted to know where it was going before
So
we got
in
there.
My opinion, the main characters that we have had set up so far are Colby.
Mm-hmm.
Genevieve.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have had Mike White and a little bit Savannah, shockingly.
Yeah.
And then the other two main characters.
Guess how I did, guys? I won.
Are, by the way, I have some tea on that moment. But the other two main characters, I think, are Ozzy and Ciri pretty clearly. They have been set up as our six sort of main narrators and main characters. Also, I think Christian and Devins, but it's debatable whether they're like reliable narrators versus like main characters here.
They're sort of like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Agreed. 100%. Yes. Yeah. And with a 3-hour premiere, even saying 6 is hard.
Agreed. That's just who I
production has done a good job of giving us access to the largest cast we've ever had. You know? Yeah.
I love all 6 of these people, all of these players. I think that every one of them has a pretty good chance of winning. I did find out Genevieve didn't learn fire her first season because she played too much Baldur's Gate 3. this time I did find out same problem except Expedition 33. So we know she's at least got good taste.
The celebs are just like us
They're just like us. I have decided that I want a winner pick that I want to win the game. I am taking Ciri as my winner pick.
Love it.
Yeah.
I just am at a point where like, just give it to her.
Yeah.
Just let her win.
You wanted Kyle to win too.
I did. I truly did.
Too much of a change.
No.
Yeah.
love Kyle. But I just, man, at this point, it's like, what a legacy she has. And she came, I think I was a little like, is she going to come to play or is she going to come like Big Brother? I don't know. Turns out she came to play and she showed us in this first episode. If you say her name, you better be confident.
If I'm Cerise elementary school teacher, I'm remembering, it's actually better for her if I separate her from her friend, Miss Felicia, and let her be the student I know she can be.
Right. Yes. Let's put Cerise in front of the class.
100%. Big Brother Cerise showed up and was like, I am not having fun. I'd rather just chill in the back room with my friend, Miss Felicia. But this performance from Cerise, I'm glad that we're here now because I wanted to talk about this. The most, like, in a season where people are either like, I'm doubling down on everything that I am.
Right.
I'm a man of honor, even though not really. Or Ozzy, I am nothing I was before.
I'm
now
myself.
Oscar.
I'm Oscar. Yeah.
The Mike White fits. Abs are a great representation of
Mike White's exactly. Abs. Yeah.
Yeah, which sure. I will say that moment from both Ozzy and Colby, where you see them, like Colby's having a good time. He's smiling and laughing.
I've never seen him smile on Survivor.
He's never
before.
Been happy before.
Well, except when he said he wasn't he said, I ain't no Hershey bar.
Yeah, that's fair.
But Ciri firmly fits into that first category of like, I'm doubling down on everything I am because Ciri's entire move of like, she was going to put my name down. Can you believe that?
Dude,
you would never do something like that, would you? I didn't think so. That would be crazy.
She's unbelievable.
I can't believe it worked.
And also, I fully believe that Ciri wanted to work with Jenna. Like,
yeah,
I think so too.
There's no incentive for her to have gone out swinging at Jenna.
No.
Jenna did say, and I do think at least some of these exit interviews have some value, that Christian basically planted the idea that they should get Ciri out first and then just set her loose on the tribe.
Wow. Yeah, fair enough. Fair
sure.
enough.
Go
so
for
that's
it.
The most Spock thing I know of.
So Spock, dude.
Yeah,
speaking
definitely.
Of out of gameplay tea, I did hear what's her name from this most recent season? There were 3 of Sophie. So Sophie, yeah. Purple Sophie from this most recent season was on Rob Has a Podcast this week. She said that Savannah was planning on going in and lying about her performance in her season. She was going to go in and say that she got like 5th and that her and Rizzo had already talked about it and had agreed that they were going to lie about how they both did and say that they both got out earlier than they had, that they were going to maintain that lie and basically say like somebody, you know, caught what they were doing and separated them and then got them out. But alumni found out that she had won and that a tweet about it made its way back to Purple Sophie, who called Savannah as she was on her way to the airport right before they confiscated her phone and was able to tell Savannah right before she got on the plane,
game-saving move.
Hit eject on your plan. Do not lie about where you came in the season. So that was Savannah's backup plan, which would be like, guess how good I am? Pretty good.
It's so funny in Survivor, and we even get it with returning players, that they do like these cosplay moves because the zeitgeist has existed before to where you want to have a lie. But that kind of lie makes no sense. There's
nothing
it's
not worth it.
Valuable. No. About saying you didn't do well. No one's going to. It's not like we're getting so painstakingly, but there's 24 people to be like, well.
You're not playing with stupid people. If you're on a tribe with Ciri, don't lie about something stupid like that. Like, also, you know, I really like Savannah as a contestant. She's great for TV. I think that she's a really bad liar. You know, she came back with her reward and was like, I didn't, I just had to go home.
Nothing happened to me.
And Joe, of all people, is like,
it's like, oh, this guy thinks now. Oh, Joe's got ideas now. All of a sudden, Joe's got thoughts.
Yeah.
Joe spends like a year getting grilled on the internet for like not seeing through Kyle and Camilla's truly brilliant plan.
Dude, his explanation of I got a wedgie on national TV is so accurate too. Like that's that is basically,
yeah,
that we watched it with my mom who didn't finish that season and she was like, did he really? I was like, no, mom.
No.
He did not get an actual wedgie.
His heart did.
He got a heart wedgie.
His heart did. His heart got its undies pulled all the way up and saw his heart's butt cheeks on TV.
Oh, man. They were pink because people were spanking him. They were like, bad.
Spanked his heart's bare ass on TV like a baby.
Okay, so with that change in winner pick.
Yeah.
I have Ceree. Carter has Ozzy. Jordan has Ceree. Doge has Genevieve. I feel like everybody is feeling probably pretty good about their winner
pick.
You'll
have the same winner pick?
Yep. Yeah. Which is allowed.
Okay, well, tell me about this, though, because that'll basically mean, like, if Ceree wins, then she just gets Gage one more point than she gets Jordan?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, okay.
And Doge, how are you feeling about Genevieve at this point? I feel like Kyle was her number one, even though I don't know if it was explicitly said, but it feels like that was what we were communicated.
It was. I mean, she had a big moment after he was ejected of, like, man, I kind of have to go back to the drawing board now.
Does it make you feel any particular way to know that she has once again confirmed that she did not practice fire coming in? Like, I know that fire's not the end all be all of winning the game, but like, does it make you feel any particular way about like, man, she really didn't like double down on any of her weaknesses last time, it seems like?
Well, I think her weaknesses last time, like the one that was in her control was fire. The one that was out of the kind of tough spot she got put in out of her control is that she just sort of chose the wrong side of the alliance. Like she just got on the opposite side of some pretty important votes and her side got picked off. You can argue that that's because she went in and was like, I'm not here to make friends. I'm not even going to learn these people's names. I'm just trying to vote them out, which is a big part of it. But I think the crux of it is her side just got picked off first. Just the numbers fell a certain way.
Does losing Kyle make you feel like you're hearing echoes of a familiar song again for Genevieve? Or
that is what makes me nervous because like she is doing the same thing she did last time, establishing, like trying quickly to say who's on my team and who is not on my team. Mm-hmm. Who is us and who is them? Let's make sure us is getting all of them out. And man, I really hope she didn't pick poorly for the second season.
Sure. Yeah.
I think that Kyle was the perfect person for her to make an alliance with. She has a lot in common with Camilla, I feel. But Kyle was immediately basically hedging his bets, making sure that everyone thought well of Kyle. To be fair, he's the muscle on that tribe, so it's not like they were likely to vote him out early anyways. But I think that really works for Genevieve in a way that her alliance with Rome was the complete opposite of that.
Right.
So I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, Genevieve right now, I think is fine in her tribe, but a tribe swap might be really, I can't think of anybody who might be like singularly harmed more than Genevieve.
She's not quick to get to know people and build alliances in the way that she needs to be. She's very quick to be like, are we working together? But like, doesn't appear to take it past that very quickly. So I listen, it's a guess.
Sure,
and I think she's good socially if she has enough runway. Like her plane can fly really high, but it takes a while to take off. And
I think
any of these setbacks,
we have not actually seen that. I think what I would say is it seems like she could be good socially.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
I agree.
I agree.
She had a lot of help.
And
from
I think
Kyle.
She could.
That interaction with Aubrey was so weird.
No,
that
I loved it.
Extremely weird.
I loved it because I love that Aubrey.
I liked it too.
We need Aubrey's energy to look at Genevieve and be like,
Aubrey was Aubrey was the preseason betting favorite to win this season.
Really?
She had like 42% of bettors voting for her to win.
That's interesting.
I think.
I love Aubrey.
I do too. And I'm just curious to see where it goes because I would imagine that moment is designed to show us that there's to foreshadow some impending conflict.
Sure.
Yeah. And that is really interesting if we get
so
it.
There's going to be conflict. Look, yeah. Aubrey's one of those people that I love to watch play and would probably take a pass on hanging out with just because I feel like she would stress me out. But all the reasons.
Who on this cast is the top of your list of like, I love to watch you play and I would give anything to have.
Dude, kind of coach a little bit, Q little bit, Angelina, Mike White. Sari is like,
well, sure, Mike White. I know you're trying to get on White Lotus.
I would love to be on White Lotus. No, Sari is like the embodiment of she's the perfect cross section of like amazing player, would love to hang. Sari's up. Honestly, a lot of this cast, I would be thrilled.
I love so much what I would call like thoughtful intellect. I think a lot of the times, incredibly cerebral people can feel like they don't have any social skills. You know, and to an extent, we can look at Christian and say he's awkward in a very charming way. But he also, even before,
Christian's
even before talking about being a dad, which melt my entire heart and body and soul. Even before that, an incredibly thoughtful person. I think I could get lost in his lemur eyes for 10 straight hours.
Sure.
At dinner.
Yeah.
And dude, we've continued totally to say we're not ready yet. And they're like, it's 4 a.m. and you haven't even gotten an appetizer. Are you hungry? We remember we are. Let's go to Wendy's. We'll be fine. Christian, way up there.
Yeah.
I think for me, Ozzy's pretty high up the list right now.
Ozzy's cool.
Ozzy, I was not thrilled about on South Pacific when he like had his little like followers and then got really mad at Cochran for not going along with the group.
Yeah.
But Ozzy as Oscar seems super cool.
Yeah, do I want to hang out with Ozzy? Maybe. Do I want to hang out with Oscar?
Whole name
Hell
change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I hung out with Oscar, I might be swayed to get a little loopy.
Yeah, I think Ozzy is the champion. I loved our conversation to start the episode of talking about people that are deciding to have a bit of a
rebrand,
survivor identity shift in someone doubling down. And it so happens now with Jordan's pick for champions and me being Ozzy, 75% of us are picking the strongest duo, you could argue, first 3 hours of footage to win the game. And it's just because there is a genuineness to this in some way. Because while Sari can be, you know, the Black Widow and make these backstabby things late in the game, there is something genuine that it feels about her wanting to actually pair up with Ozzy. And to hear them in post, I think it's fun. I don't think it's needed, but I do love having access to just what these contestants are saying about the show that they were on. And we know that Ozzy and Sari. And in my mind, I was kind of like, I'm sure they could have been great friends if they had only spent 2 days on an island together. But something makes me think they're both going to be here for a while for the way that they're talking about each other.
I agree. Yeah.
And it's about time. It's about time that they're like, we're so good at opposite things. Yeah. We should collab.
I feel great about my pick, by the way.
I'm sure.
This is unreal. But what's tough is
advantages, by the way.
Ozzy-like players are the ones that go home with all these advantages sometimes. So we'll get to see how Oscar he is.
Yes, Ozzy-like players do go home with advantages, but I feel like with the new era, there has been a shift in it's a bunch of smart players that think they need to get rid of physical players, which actually proves they're not very smart players. Like it's this whole weird dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I still haven't really figured out how much of the new era baggage all the old school players have brought with them. Like if they've psyched themselves out about like, it's a new game, it's a different game. Or if they've come in and been like, that's all bullshit. It's just Survivor. Yeah. Let's go play Survivor. And I think that's the real answer.
Yeah. And we've certainly seen an influence with Genevieve giving thick-headed Ozzy a immunity idol.
For sure.
Of the new,
underestimating kind of, the old, maybe.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, maybe. I'll say the only thing that I'm worried about for Ozzy is I think Ozzy should be really hoping that they send D home before they connect. Because I think that D is like, I mean…
Oh, it's his kryptonite.
Different tribe. Different tribe.
Oh, for now. That's what I'm saying. Like, Ozzy should at night be like… I hope that
Please don't be there at the merge. Please don't be there at the merge. He needs
She's
Oscar.
Gonna make me act up.
Yeah, dude. Oscar needs to know that Ozzy will come out if D's like, you want to see my long ass toes. And then Ozzy needs to know that he's got to protect Oscar by shutting that down. Because yes, you are absolutely right. we know that Ozzy is easily swayed by a pretty girl who can talk fast. And
he slowly starts being like, I'm going to start really focusing on providing for the tribe.
I'm going to get fish. I think maybe my best thing to do is just to go fishing for D. Yeah, I think D deserves fish.
I'm just going to get fish. We talked about Kyle being out of the episode. Jenna is as well. Jenna is. So I'm also down to five tribe members on my team. And this was a, there is something so solidifying and strong about Suri being targeted in the first episode and surviving completely.
Yeah.
That kind of feels like we're just using the, what is it? Is it when you use the resistance to air of the like driver in front of you? What is it when they're swinging?
Drafting.
Slipstream.
Yeah. We're in the slipstream. We're in the slipstream of Jenna for a little bit. And Suri has just launched herself. Yep. And so I feel really good about that ultimately. Well, point totals though, I am collectively in second place. I'm in a tie for second. No, I'm alone at second place.
And we have a three-way tie for first place.
Three-way tie for first. We have fire making. So exciting. It is so fun to watch with these added point totals. Yes. I was really, praying for tree mail. We didn't get any yet.
Yes.
Devin's gymmed the camera. Got me a point.
He
got
did.
Me a juicy
he
little
did.
Point.
Doge would have been in the lead if Colby didn't lose his vote.
Yes.
Colby. Colby, come on. Playing reverse Jenga.
And in that
lost
same
me a point.
In that same thought process, I believe if Savannah hadn't had the surprise advantage given to her, I would have been second place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we decided to TBD this boomerang idol.
Yes.
To see who ends up with it. I think that's the best way to do that. I'm sure there will be at least one more that pops up. Because Rick Devins is probably going to find an idol soon.
I thought he did. They got me with that edit.
Right away.
He did get me. Yeah.
So good.
I thought he did. But I'm so thrilled. I mean, this season is off to such a great start. First episode is amazing. I would say if you're not a Survivor person, but you've been curious, it's honestly not a bad season to start with. It gives
you
some
jumping off. If you're not a Survivor person and you're hearing us say this, what have you been doing?
Why have you been listening to this whole time?
But are you really confused?
If you've got friends that want to get into Survivor, and I really feel like 50 is a decent jumping in point. They're giving a lot of context behind who everybody is. I feel like you're catching up pretty well and able to like enjoy.
You'll have a similar experience with Carter starting the challenge. Carter started the challenge at season 40, which was Battle of the Eras, which is very much similar to the way casting worked for Survivor this season. Mm-hmm. A bunch of players from throughout the show's history. I think that's you're right. It's a good jumping on point.
Yeah,
you get really to know a lot of the big faces right away.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Right. Yeah, Carter and I both started at season 40 of the challenge and then watched everything.
Went backwards.
Yep.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Worth it. Well, we've got our winner picks locked in. We've got our teams ready for next episode, which as this episode releases will be the next day. So if you don't know when it comes on, it's Wednesday nights. And I'd encourage you to watch because it's a good time. But other than that, we'll keep you posted next week as we talk a little more Survivor. But for now, I do think we got to head to shout announcements and say adios to our good friend Gage so we can talk about traitors in the back half.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Gage.
Okay, bye. Shout eight. It's time for shout announcements. The part of the show where we give shout outs and make announcements. Yeah, yeah. Felt like a little T-Pain might get us where we need to be. And he did.
More like T-Pleasure.
Whoa. Anyway, it's shout announcements. Part of the show where we give, that's what it's called when you see a joke flying around your head, you swat at it like a fly.
Yeah.
You'd be like, no. And just hit it as hard as you can. It's shout announcements. It's where we do shout outs and make announcements. Shout out to Gage jumping in with us. He is
thanks, man.
DM GM for us over on Imagine Dungeons, where he has created this incredible story inside of a world that has also got his thumbprints all over it. He's really done a great job with not only side characters, but story beats and pacing. It's a hard job, especially when you've got, you know, five goofballs that are
goobers,
just trying to derail at all times. And he keeps us focused and keeps us headed in the right direction. And he pivots with us and lets us adopt NPCs in a really beautiful way. He's really so good at it.
We did find out we did find out in our group text with him yesterday that one of the central NPCs was intended to be a mini boss in like the first three or four sessions we played.
We just didn't fight him and adopted him instead.
Instead of fighting him, he's our little brother.
He's our best friend.
And he's been with us ever since.
That's true. Incredible news. So yeah, he rolls with it. He does such a great job. And if you're not going to listen for any other reason, listen because Gage is really great at what he does. And he's got good Survivor takes. We enjoy talking to him about Survivor. He'll be jumping in with us throughout the season to give updates on points, but also you know, chat with us about how the season's going. And so far, so good. So I think it's going to be some good reality TV discussion, as we have after shout announcements for you as well. Spoiler alert. But the other thing we want to tell you about is Discord. Get in it. Get in it.
Jump on over to you.
Get in it.
Get in it. Download it on your phone and get in it. Go over to Patreon. Jump into Discord.
How long have we had Discord? 4 years?
Oh, 10 years? 15?
Many years.
Highest retention rate of any organization in history.
That's true.
Easy. Yeah.
That's actually true. Verify.
I don't even have to look it up to know that's true.
So, actually, I'm going to Google right now. Highest retention.
Anyways, make sure it's rate in history so that it's ever.
In history.
In history.
In history, in quotes. So, Google actually includes
of
it.
All time.
Ever.
Yeah,
wait, minus AI at the end. We don't want the AI overview.
Hold on. Now, when I say minus AI, no, it's still two chunks. Yeah, it's two chunks
okay,
Discord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Crazy. Yeah, good pull, Carter.
Yeah.
I think I broke my keyboard for that joke. Let's head back to the show.
If weight management is one of your New Year goals, Quicksilver Scientific's GLP-1 amplifier can help. This science-backed formula supports metabolic balance, curbs cravings, and promotes healthy blood sugar levels, making it easier to stay consistent and in control. It helps give your body the boost it needs to keep you on track. Feel confident and energized this year with Quicksilver Scientific's GLP-1 amplifier. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We're back to the show. Time to talk about Traitors, season 4 finale. It's over.
He did it.
The time for talk is done.
The time for talk is done.
Can you give me You're Never Gonna Have a Girlfriend After This, but as Alan Cumming?
Dear Rob, you're never going to have a girlfriend after this.
It was almost right,
It's still more. You're never going to have a girlfriend after this.
Yeah.
You never.
No, Mara's still crept in there.
I'm a fool.
What a stupid. Fantastic second place. You couldn't ask for a better second place. Because the first place did go, spoiler alert, why are you listening? It did go to our big boy, our big beautiful boy, our big handsome beautiful boy, Rob Rausch.
Come on, Rob.
At the end of our last episode, our sign-off was, what was he going to wear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
true. And I got pretty close.
No, you did. You really did.
You did.
Rob the White did make an appearance. Yeah.
Rob
wasn't
the
all
White.
White.
That was my name.
That was my name.
The way that he, I gotta say, we've been dancing around it. We haven't really gone right at it. We've been dancing around it all Traitor season. We all would let him kiss us. That's the thing. And the way that he says at the end, I'm a traitor. I have been the whole time. No, really, I am a traitor. I was like, I forgive him. I forgive him.
Yeah.
I forgive him. He's too charming. He's too powerful.
100%.
This man.
It was just.
100%.
It was an incredible end. And I haven't even had enough time for it to like fully resonate. But this was one of the better seasons of a reality competition show that I've seen.
It really was great.
Much less.
Yeah.
To me, what is clearly the best season of Traitors we've ever had.
Easily.
No real contest.
And it was just. It was incredible. I mean, there's just that some of the first things that you want to do, especially if you feel like you can see yourself in situations like this. You know, one of the great fun questions of anyone who watches a lot of reality competitions is like, which one do you think you'd be the best at? Right? Because we're always kind of trying to be like, how would I handle this situation? And so to see Rob just do it perfectly is pretty incredible. I can't really believe that he was able to pull that off.
And it really was perfect, wasn't it? There really weren't any missteps for Rob, other than I would argue like his overreaction at the challenge, but it didn't really come back to bite him at all. So
even then, and that's, it didn't that's really even, seem like an overreaction.
That's the audience being nitpicky at some point too, and just kind of going off of the straws that people were grabbing at around the round table.
For sure.
He shouldn't have dropped his fork. I think that's what he should have dropped his fork. He shouldn't have dropped his fork at brunch.
I called exactly how I thought the ending was going to play out too. I felt like Rob's path to winning solo was getting out Mark, because Mark was going to be the last person capable of swaying Mara. That's what I figured, was that if Mark was there, they were in trouble, because Mark is earnest enough that he would be able to see through everything and get Mara. But because they murdered Mark, it was just free and clear. And I never really felt like Mara was going to go with Tara or Johnny. I never really felt like that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the surprise backstab of Eric at the end, can we talk about that? And like, that was an intense
moment.
Mara
led that charge.
I know.
I cannot believe, like, Rob's pinky promise to her was, I promise I'm going to help you get Eric out.
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
She led the charge. Like, the moment that Eric throws his little green bean bag in the fire, and then Mara throws hers and it's red. And oh my goodness.
And then
it's
Rob's
so
is red too. And Eric just knows.
Man. Also, my preference is I wish that the fire at the end would just stay in the round table room. It makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just have it be the through line the whole time. We've done it outside before. Part of me thought maybe it was raining and that's why they've
been
raining inside.
Could have been
raining. But I like it a lot in here. But yeah, that was crazy. That was so good.
And Eric felt so betrayed. And I don't blame him. He got played. He got robbed.
He got completely played. And like, I don't know. Surely he's aware that like the reason Rob picked him to be a co-trader was for that moment.
Yeah, to, because like to of all the Goomba people left, off his head like Mario.
100% of all the people left, Eric is the guy that like, I'm going to do that to him for sure. That's the easiest path to victory for me.
I was thinking about how we've already had a couple of moments where we've said like we called certain things and that usually feels like it has one of two scenarios. Sometimes you call stuff because it's predictable. And so then when it happens, you roll your eyes. But then sometimes your call is what would make some of the best story. And then when it happens, you stand up. And so I think there was a moment several episodes ago, even when we were talking about this, that it felt like, man, they sure did make sure that we saw Mara talk about, maybe when there was 10 people left, what it would look like to be if it was her and Rob. She's like, I'll absolutely kill you if it's just the two of us and I find out you're a traitor. And then that's when I had thought about too. So Jordan, y'all watch What Happens Live? Do y'all try and catch
Occasionally,
right. So it depends on who the guests are and things like that. There was one where I think it was Dylan Efron was on. I can't remember who else was. But they're talking about traitors. It was near the beginning of traitors. And they had like a secret traitor come out and he had to guess who it was. And he kind of got it right because it was Mara. And so Mara's on the show. Okay. And so those moments are always really fascinating to me. Yes, this is live, but it's also not. And so I'm kind of like, you can't help but try and read. People do a great job. I don't know who's on the team of production for the survivors of the world and the traitors that have so much media and such long junkets that they have to like be in front of people for them to keep their mouth shut, right? Who knows what they're signing and who's terrifying them. But she seemed so blasé about it. She was just like, you know, and she, at that point, she's obviously still on the show.
Sure.
She would be on the show for so long. And part of me was like, man, does she get to the, is she goated? Like, does she get to the end?
Right.
And that's why she's so upset. She's just like so bummed at herself. But seeing her shock was so good. And even the cut to Alan, it's that situation to where I think of moments in school where I'm like, I'm not in trouble. But my friend is, and I'm just there, and I'm like, I can't leave. I can't go anywhere.
I was like fully pretzeled on the couch at one point during Mara's reaction, just like watching through my fingers, going like, oh, because it was so uncomfortable at the end. I loved it.
And hey, what a great sport, though.
My goodness. Yeah.
If anyone has the right to be the most pissed at Rob by the end of this, maybe it's Candace or Lisa. They would claim that and they continue to.
They,
in a fun
of course
way.
They would claim
in
that.
In a fun way.
Yes,
fun way,
yes.
But Mara, for sure. But she did so good with it. She was just like, you know what?
Mara, kudos. You play Mara me. Is very yeah. cool. I yes. think what I haven't seen her Love Island season, so I didn't know her before this. I think what I learned is that like Mara is unbelievably cool. Her vibe the she entire is. Season was like, she wants to have a good time. She wants to make this friends. Is why, she yeah. wants to win the game. And then at the reunion, she was like, yeah, I'm over it. Like,
yeah,
he played so well. That's the name of the game. And I think when somebody can be a good sport, when they are legitimately cool, mm-hmm. I do hate, I hope that her whole like, I'm so stupid, people think I'm stupid. I hope that that's something that she has been working through because she's, you know, stupid yeah. is not how I would describe her. She is certainly no. gullible, but that doesn't make someone stupid.
Also, immediately everyone trickable. Else will be like, we can feel just as much. You just felt right. it the longest, but we still yeah. feel that now.
Dude, she's just.
Because of how, yes. how good of a game Rob played.
She was yeah, amazing what a, TV. What a great partner for Rob. Like, yeah, she was
also
great.
A testament to why she has her own show after Sunset, right? She's doing the Love Island show.
Oh, is she?
After Love Island. Yeah, she's been doing that for a few years.
No on way.
The British iteration of it, I
okay.
think, of UK. But she has the talk show after, like what Ariana Maddox
yeah, makes
has
sense.
Had.
But yeah.
Makes
she's
sense.
She's great.
She's great.
She's so great.
I've seen some Rob stuff start to pop up now. A lot of his like postseason press is coming out. He did like a GQ interview on his land and he's just there in a cowboy hat. And he's just out there, you know, creating beautiful dreams for everybody. But he is asked like, who from the cast would you want to hang out with right now? And he's like, honestly, most of them. He was like, I thought the cast was really fun. I think we all made real friendships. He was like, but if I had to pick one, probably Ron. And I was like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my
dog. Ron would probably echo that immediately.
Based on what I've seen, it seems like Ron would echo that.
Because did we all watch the reunion?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We want to spend some time talking about that too.
Sure. Sure.
I thought it was polite how much they didn't talk to Ron and like ask him about his experience ultimately because of how much he would later come out and say like how uncomfortable in general it was for him.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy this.
Yeah. Also, it's a huge cast and stuff. And I think all of the... There were two sides, which was so great for the show. There was a Team Candace and a Team Rob. And we talked about this. Mm-hmm. The game players and even like personalities in sport are on Rob's side. Everybody who's mm-hmm. watching this as a game
yes.
in the way that Rob approaches this is saying, I'm on Team Rob. And then, sure. of course, the Bravos 100%. Of the world that maybe perhaps it was their first season. Likely not because we've been getting big Bravo names since day one on this sure. show, basically. But to see the respect that kind of came back to Rob from both mm-hmm. some of these Bravo accounts with yes. how he just like read Candace mm-hmm. and she was like, yeah. and it would be like, I can't remember exactly what she said. It's just like, and that would be your downfall. And he was like, well, actually it was yours, right?
Because I won and you're gone.
You went out.
And yeah, you lost. You. And just,
I got to tell you, everybody, the Bravo personality that comes out of this so high for me is Lisa Rinna. Lisa,
yeah, dude.
Lisa came into this reunion and she was just like, by the way, still Lisa, never going to change. Rob, I love you. You're the best. Him and Lisa yeah. were hanging out the other day. I saw a picture of them walking out of some place together and she was in overalls like he usually wears and he had an ice out pin on. So Rob's our woke king, turns out.
Yeah,
Rob's
yeah.
cool as hell.
Yes, please.
He's our Alabama bumpkin who turns out to be part of the woke mob. So look out.
It's the ally in Alabama.
Yeah, he sure does. But yeah, Lisa just comes out of this looking so cool. I think that she took the loss in stride better than Candace, which I think yes. Candace is, by the way, I think Candace is like turning it up.
She's
on
playing
purpose.
It up. I think she's playing it up for TV.
Yes, yes.
And also I think like Lisa takes the loss in stride because like you lost a game on TV, but more than that, like
you were on TV.
Her losing out on her losing out on $200,000 is like me being like, oh man, yeah. I forgot my quarter in the Aldi shopping yeah. cart. Oh well.
Also, yeah, hey, probably. What an absolute housewife flex! Like we entered the arena of, in terms of reunions, like Portia was the first person out.
Yeah,
and she ate. She owned this reunion. She was so funny, and so
and
charming.
Also what I understand to be her reputation, she fulfilled here, which is like also her reads were wrong at the reunion. Yeah. She was loudly incorrect about so many things
yeah. yes.
that everybody
yes.
was just like no,
but
no,
ridiculous.
No. No, no,
and
no.
people just like yes, laugh when she brings her yeah. Ziploc bag of squashed lipstick.
And I gotta say,
that Lisa then says. Well, it went bankrupt. It doesn't exist
it's
anymore.
Over.
So,
yeah. And Portia didn't know. Portia was like, wait, really?
Yeah.
Bob the drag queen delivered one of my favorite moments of the reunion, which is where I feel like what we're talking about with Ron, where everybody was, I feel like respectfully not coming at Ron at the reunion. But Bob, pulling no punches, was just like, Ron, just respectfully, I want to say it felt like you didn't want to build relationships with us. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that Bob is pretty, I'm saying Bob, oh my goodness.
Monet. Yeah.
I was just watching the podcast with Rob, with Boston Rob and Bob the drag queen together. Monet is willing to look at Ron and say like, look, at the end of the day, it just felt like you didn't want to have a relationship with us. Yeah. And I feel like that is such a valid question to ask and give Ron a chance to respond a little bit. And I feel like in the way that it could have been a respectful thing to not talk to Ron, I also was a little worried that it was going to be a continuation of the things that made him feel separate and othered on the season. And I think I appreciate that Monet gave him a chance to chime in there and like have something to say. Because if there's one thing I know about Monet, it's that Monet is the furthest thing from a bully. Like Monet is such a kind and fun person. Mm-hmm. And so like, I think Monet looking at Ron and being like, hey, I want to hear your answer to this. It's not just like a set you up for a softball. I want to know what you have to say about this. And Ron, you know, I have no doubt in my mind that Ron has, since the season has been airing, has probably made some better relationships with some of these people that they understand him better now. Because I think, you know, we've got Mark Ballas and we've got Jam Jam and we've got Eric, we've got Monet. We've got these people that are like, seem to be genuinely cool, well-rounded, like really kind people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that that has paid off for Ron relationally post-season would be my
for
guess.
For sure. I hope so. I love Ron. I want, Ron is one of the people like, when I see Ron on TV or when I see Ron succeeding, it's like, oh, my close personal friend, Ron, is doing a great job. And I want nothing but the best that every day could possibly bring my close personal friend, Ron.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the topic of Monet, too, it felt like there was a moment where the cast joined Monet in kind of a bit of an advocacy to get more drag queens on this show.
Yes, dude.
Yeah, dude. Which
makes the most sense. And, what a perfect, you know, it's going to be hard to cast a drag queen that's not confident, right? That's some of the point.
But for sure.
For Monet to be able to say
plain Jane
like, hey,
on the traitors.
Yeah, ooh. For sure. Yikes.
You think Trixie and Katya could come in and do the whole Johnny and Tara, we don't know each other thing?
I would commit a crime to get Trixie and Katya on the show on the same season together.
There's so many that would be good. I think Jinx would be great. I think
Oh my goodness.
My God, yes.
There is very little that I think Jinx Monsoon would not win.
That's true. Yeah. I do feel like Jinx
I think Jinx would just wear, she would just be Betty Davis for the entire.
Right. Sure. Yeah. That's fair.
The entire time, and that's fine.
A shout out to an early exit character. So I'm a huge Rob Cesternino fan. We've talked about it a little bit. Outside of the Traitors and his reality TV appearances, he is the founder of one of the largest reality podcast networks ever. Rob has a podcast. He is, talk about somebody that's in it for the love of the game. Rob Cesternino loves games. He loves games. He loves reality TV. He loves Bravo shows. He loves competition shows. Of course, he has a soft spot for Survivor because that's where he started, but he loves Big Brother. He loves The Traitor. He loves all of these shows. I think it was a special moment. And I don't even know if Rob, because Rob Roush has said he doesn't really watch reality TV. I don't know if he knows how special it was that Rob Cesternino was the one at the end that was like, I just want to give the flowers to
100%
Rob R for coming onto the show and delivering what is a dominating and series defining performance as a traitor.
Yes.
And like, I hope that Rob R understands that he has set in the way that Ceri did for her type of gameplay. Rob R has now set the new blueprint for that type of gameplay. For the
100%. Like, I think, like, looking at the season holistically, there's a moment in Big Brother when it's the second season when Dr. Will plays and invents the, like, blindsiding procedure, like, establishes the meta of how that game is played.
It's like Boston Rob inventing voting blocks, basically, in
100%. Survivor. And I think that Rob R. has invented the meta for how to play traitors. Yeah. And, like, everybody who comes after him will be either... it's like the Mount Fuji in Japan, where it's like all Japanese art really has Mount Fuji in it.
Right.
Brandon Sanderson talks about Tolkien the same way. All fantasy has Tolkien in it. Like you're always in his shadow. Rob R is the Mount Fuji of traitors, where like every traitor that plays after this will either say, I'm going to play Rob's game
or
I'm going to play a different game than Rob.
Yeah.
And so like Rob either way is defining the future of playing as a traitor in this game.
he's going to be a ghost in that castle for a long time.
And yes. Absolutely.
Yep.
We've got Boston Rob and Bama Rob. Like, it's like we've got...
right.
Because we're saying the same thing about like how people would talk about Boston Rob on,
for sure.
On his show.
Before the season started, I remember us talking... I can't remember if it was on the pod or not, but one of the things that we said when we were talking about this upcoming season of The Traitors is we really felt like what The Traitors needs is their own Boston Rob. They really needed somebody to point to and go, oh, they cracked it. Okay. The Traitors can win this game if they come to play. Because that's what it felt like the last couple seasons. It was like all the people that come to play are bad. And what we learned was like, no, they came to play the wrong game.
Yeah.
Yes.
The meta had not been cracked wide open yet. And I feel like Rob has, and Doge, it's like what you're saying. I know I'm just rephrasing what you said, but I'm just sort of processing it. I think that what Rob has done is not just show you this is the path to victory, but what Rob has shown is like there is a path to victory.
Yeah.
And I can find a different one.
The path
but what
to victory,
he defined is like, I want to win, we'll be friends after. And that's the mindset.
Yes.
I think what every winning trader game will have in common, even if their gameplay looks nothing alike, will you have to come in and say, we'll be friends after.
Yeah. The path for victory, I think if I'm about to be on Traders and I want to try and have a play style of someone who did very well, the path to victory for Rob is not something that's like episodic and from point A to point Z. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to play like him, it is the ideals of how he played. I believed him, and I still do, when he told Candace at the reunion, we could have won together.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. I don't think he was like, it'll be just me.
But you changed. Yeah, so it's just these roots of all of it, which are...
I don't think he would have stolen it from Eric if Mara hadn't said, we got to get Eric out. I think he was like, all right. As long as it's me, I don't care.
I'll do it. Yeah.
Yep.
Listen well, be open. Always treat it as a game.
Mm-hmm.
Always be flexible. Don't have a singular vision of the future. You have to be able to move stuff around. But the great thing about Rob, though, is he does get to have... He will never be replicated. Because there are just certain things about his character that no one will get to walk in and have. It felt
not
like
authentically.
He got to a point... The moment I will never forget, I think the top moment for me in a truly incredible season is watching him read minds when he got the dagger. When
the
he
dagger
got
the, moment was maybe the
that
peak.
Was crazy. It was unbelievable.
And he looked at the Rottweiler of the episode, Natalie, who is the most competitive.
Yes.
Even her silhouette is intimidating.
Yeah, she's terrifying.
And made her look like she got in trouble in kindergarten. Yeah, the way her face was. It's like, you know what? I've never even acknowledged before that Natalie has felt cold, but she seems freezing.
She seems cold suddenly.
He was just taking something from her, and then he literally did. And that was another thing that helped him win the game.
Yes.
He used all of it. Oh my God.
Just a perfect play. And I do believe him. Carter's like you said. Like I think he was truly just thinking, next step. What's my next step? Like, I don't believe he came with the end in mind of I'm going to win this game, but infinite paths to get there. Mm-hmm. And just what's my best next step right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Man.
Yeah.
I misattributed that quote earlier. That's a Terry Pratchett quote that Brandon Sanderson has said out loud. So it's sort of like Michael Scott and the Wayne Gretzky quote.
Yeah. Sure.
So yeah. And I'm just adding Doge to the end of it this time.
I have one more comment. It's awful to mention him, but in this case, it's to slight him. But so Rob C being able to be like, because Jordan, you were talking about how he is just he gobbles up reality television, competitive reality television, and such a celebrator of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't even claim that as much as Rappaport claims that he's such a Housewives fan. And here's the difference between whatever Rob C has and probably what's borderline.
One of many differences. Sure.
Is that like, Rappaport, who I was in on in the show, that it was just like, hey, this is okay for the show. But then he got to this and he wanted to cosplay as a housewife so bad that it was the wrong kind of uncomfortable. It was like, you don't...
What a nasty person.
He got an entire cast of reality TV to go, oh my God, shut up.
Yeah. The clip thing, you know, and it was just...
And didn't he say he straight up stole that? And there is nothing more pathetic than going, whatever, you know, not this, but just being like, clip it and it not landing and then being like, but I took it directly from somebody else who did it, and it was funny when they did it. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, dude, they're not you, idiot. Shut up.
Man.
Know your
place. The best thing about him being on this show is that I feel like the entire nation has come together to say what a terrible person he is.
Yeah. There's a couple other people I'd like to see the nation rally against as well, but I'll start with Rappaport.
Every avalanche starts with a single snowflake, and maybe Rappaport's that snowflake for
us. Maybe the best thing that ever happened to our country is that Rappaport was on Traitors 4, and people were like, enough is enough of these loud dumbasses, and then we can start to move in the right direction. Thank you, Peacock. Thank you, Alan, and thank you, Rob. Thank you, Traitors 4, for a great season of reality TV. We'll be covering. Like we're real. We'll be talking about Survivor 50 for the rest of the season. We're really excited about it.
What a wonderful handing off of the baton.
Oh my goodness.
What a special overlap.
To end tonight. Within 24 hours, the beginning. Oh, it's just wonderful.
Yeah.
To end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to say our name and what's on our wish list now for Traitors 5. Let's assume whether it is no names or celebrities, whatever. Who cares? Like, what's on our wish list for Traitors 5?
We know what.
What are we calling Traitors 5? Are we calling Traitors 5 the NBC one or the next Peacock one?
I'm not aware if there's a difference. I'm having a hard time discerning if Traitors 5 is the all newbies or if Traitors NBC and Traitors Peacock are going to be two different things.
They're
can't
be
tell.
Different.
I hope they're different because I really love all-star game vibes of celebrity Traitors. I really enjoy that. So hopefully they're different, but if they're, just the next gameplay only, I guess casting too, but
it feels like they made that decision. We're going to be regular folks again after they had absolute stinky season 2 and season 3.
Yeah.
Like, well, season 1 was when people liked, there was regular people on
but
that.
They already filmed.
They made the call.
4. They knew it was going to be good.
And then filmed 4 and were like, whoa, this is amazing. Oops. Yep.
Well, they would have, the call to make it open casting would have happened after they filmed 4. So that can't be right, but.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, 4 has been done filming for almost a year. And they just started open casting a couple months ago. But anyway, for Two Junks, I'm Jordan. And I think now what I would like to see is a traitor recruit. A traitor, what do you call it? Recruit? Yeah, when they like pick a traitor because they're down one.
Yeah,
I'd like to see a traitor recruit come in and earn the win.
Yeah.
Steal it away, get the other traitors out, and take over the game completely, change directions, really dominate that turret. I'd like to see a traitor recruit come in and take it and run with it. I think that would be really fun. We've seen Faithfuls win a couple times. So I think I'm ready for a different version of a traitor's win.
Yeah. I think the show's much more interesting when a traitor wins.
Or at least win.
Or at least could win. I really root for the traitors. I think that's the much more interesting version of the story of the season. The secret traitor twist. Ultimately completely wasted on Donna Kelsey. And I would really love to see a secret traitor come in and be a real threat to our turret traitors.
That would be
awesome. And have them on the back foot scrambling. Hey, somebody out there is killing all the wrong people and we're going to get caught. We're going to get pinned for whoever they're killing.
Donna Kelsey coming out at the reunion had me be like, why is she with the traitor? Oh, yeah. I forgot she was a traitor for
a second. That's right. Yeah. She was there so Andy Cohen could ask the question, does Taylor watch?
Did Taylor watch? Yeah.
Yeah. That is the reason.
I'm Carter, and I would like to say, I still think there is a new layer to using Shields as a traitor. I think most of the use of these things is happening in the preamble to who should get it, having the conversations around it. And then we just go with the knowledge of who has it, so let's not try and kill them. There were some situations, and Rob didn't need to where he was the only one in the turret that knew who had a shield. So I think in the murder of it all, if I know that I'm the only one who knows something like this and one of these people that has the shield is my ally on the faithful side, I will try and convince other traitors to kill that person. So that when breakfast comes and nobody is gone and everybody is there, I now have the knowledge. That feels like such a lock. They're like, well, all of us who knew that I have the shield are not traitors, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get that. I understand what you're saying now.
I could have
the person with the shield has to know that you know for this to work. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
No, that's good.
That would happen all the time with the Dagger 6.
What could be interesting similarly, I think, is in it, because we've talked about how cool it would be to have two duos of competing traitors that don't share the turret together and each get to murder or alternate between. But if they were secretly competing for shields to use so that the other traitors can't murder their allies.
Mm. Right.
Could be interesting.
Yeah, there's ways to use it. Love.
Mm. Good season. Looking forward to the next thing they've got for us. I'm sure it'll be great. And, you know, the international traders, like the Traders UK, Traders Australia, I think is one of the other big ones. They're only newbies. They're not celebrities. And they're really great. So yeah. Even if season 5 is all normies, I think it'll still be an awesome season. Maybe even better than a couple of the ones we've gotten so far. But, yeah, good time to catch up on some stuff if you haven't.
The time for talk is done.
That's true, because the podcast is over.
There will be no more words.
Yeah, right, because, yeah, the podcast is done.
Now it's time to vote.
Yeah, you can... Well, I don't know about vote.